Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
I wanted to open up and share some of the scriptures that we all know and well and love. And I just want to fire some of them off for you. That's just why I had to preface the message. These are some amazing scriptures of what God says about us, about our lives, and his plan for us. So let's start with Ephesians 3:20, and I'm just going to go fast, all right? Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I, Jesus, have come that they may have life, that they have it more abundantly. 3 John 1:2, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Did you know the Bible, God wants us to prosper and to be in health. The Bible, so if you ever say, people like, you know, say, oh, you shouldn't like have that prosperity gospel. Well, the Bible says God wants us to prosper and be in health. And do you know in Psalms, it actually says that he delights in the prosperity of his children. Whoa. Okay, Psalm 103, 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all of your iniquities, who heals all of your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like eagles. Amen. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So what that means, a future and a hope, no matter what you've gone through, what loss or heartache you've experienced, there is a future and a hope for you. And the Bible says it's above anything you could ever hope for or imagine. Matthew 7:11. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So we see in just these few scriptures, and there are hundreds more, that God wants to bless our lives, that he wants to give us a hope and a future that is far above anything we could hope for or imagine, that he wants to heal all of our diseases. He wants to prosper us. He wants to bless our lives. We see the goodness and majesty of God in these scriptures and how beautiful he is in what he wants for our lives. Yet, we read these scriptures, but for some reason, all of us, I think, struggle with at least trusting God in at least one area of our life. We see and we read and we hear and we want to believe that all of these things are true for us. Yet for some reason, we find it hard to trust him in every area. There's usually that one area we kind of hold on to, whether it be our relationships or our finances, whatever it may be. So we keep the door of the room of that area of our life closed off to God. And because we keep the door of that room closed off to that area of our life to God, we shut down the power of God to bless us in that area of our lives. So my prayer as we approach tonight would be that we give God access to every area of our life. That tonight we say, Lord, you can have all of me. All of me. Not just some of me, but all of me. And I think in order to do this, we have to know two things. One, we have to trust that God is who he says he is. And two, we have to trust that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. Even when there's delay in our dreams coming to pass, even when it seems when he is being silent, do we trust that he said he will do what he says he's going to do? We've got to if we're going to trust him with every area of our life. Amen? So does God have all of us or just parts of us? I want to share specifically around three different areas. And to be honest with you, I struggled because I wanted to share around actual dating and relationships and all these things. But when it actually boiled down, I thought, you know what, though? If we can just deal with these three areas, all of those other things will fall into place. And so I want to share around three areas. The first area I want to speak into, does the Lord have access to our time? Does the Lord have access to our time? Or is our time with him confined to the 90 minutes on a Sunday in worship and when we're hearing the word of God? And if I'm being honest with you, there's been seasons in my life where the only access God had to my time was the 90 minutes on a Sunday. He had access to my time for that 90 minutes so I could hear the word of God, sing praise, pray, all of that. I'm here to tell you that that season of my life, I was dry, I was weary, I had no peace, and I had no joy. Because the Bible says in his presence is fullness of joy. So I was lacking massively joy in my life, but it's because I was not giving him any time and spending time in his presence. Does God have access to our time? And I'm telling you, from the time my feet hit the floor to the time my head hit the pillow, I was just in the grind. And the moment I opened my eyes, the daily responsibilities would scream at me, and dumb down his still small voice. I couldn't hear his voice because the daily thing, everything was screaming at me. Everything needed my time. And so the thing that I let give in was my time with him. But then everything starts to fall apart. And so there was a season where I was not giving God all of my time. And some of us have habits and cycles in our at nighttime where, you know, we can stay up and we watch our Netflix show, and then we're too tired to get up to spend any time with Jesus. I'm just being honest, like these practical things, like we do things, we have these shows that we think it's so important to stay up, but then it robs us of our time with him in the morning. I just want to be honest. I just need to tell you, like, Netflix will never change your life. I know some of you have really amazing shows, and you're arguing with me in your spirit. But I'm telling you, Netflix will never change your life. But getting in the Word of God can. Spending time in the Word of God can. Because it's in his word that you begin to realize who you are and you realize who he is. It's in his word where you realize that all things truly are possible with God. It's when you're in his word you realize that you can actually lay your hands on the sick and they shall recover. You begin to realize when you're in his word that you can prosper and that God delights in the prosperity of his children. It's in his word that you realize that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. It's when you're in his word that you realize you're an ambassador for Jesus Christ in the earth, that you are a joint heir with the Most High God, that you have access to everything in the spiritual realm. This is where you find all these things out, in his word. And as you begin to read about these things, your faith begins to rise. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I had this thought, and I don't even know if it's biblical. The devil isn't terrified of believers. He actually doesn't care that much when you give your life to Jesus. What he cares about if you actually start having fruit in your life. The devil is terrified of believers who get the word of God on the inside of them. Because once you have the word of God on the inside of you, you are not going to keep accepting the stuff that he's dishing out. You're going to stand your ground because you're going to know that's not what God says is for my future. That's not what God has for my life. So he doesn't really care if you call yourself a Christian. What he does care about, if you actually start believing what the word of God says about you and your life and your future. The devil roams around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Is he devouring your time, your children, your finances, at your workplace? Where is he devouring? We need to get in the word of God. We need to get the word of God on the inside of us. Ephesians 6:14 says, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then. And I want to share this story with you in 1 Samuel. And you're going to probably be wondering, like, why I'm sharing this story, but I'll put it together at the end. So just kind of listen and pay attention to all the things that Samuel tells Saul. And then we're going to put it together at the end. And it's just remarkable. In 1 Samuel 10, 1 through 9. Then Samuel took a flask of olive oil and poured it over Saul's head. He kissed Saul and said, I am doing this because the Lord has appointed you to be the ruler over Israel, his special possession. When you leave me today, Saul, you will see two men beside Rachel's tomb at Zelzah on the border of Benjamin. They will tell you that the donkeys have been found and that your father has stopped worrying about them and is now worried about you. He is asking, have you seen my son? When you get to the oak of Tabor, you will see three men coming toward you who are on their way to worship God at Bethel. One will be bringing three young goats. Another will have three loaves of bread. And the third will be carrying a wineskin full of wine. They will greet you and offer you two loaves of bread, which you are to accept. When you arrive at Gibeah of God, where the garrison of the Philistines is located, you will meet a band of prophets coming down from the place of worship. They will be playing a harp and a tambourine, a flute and a lyre, and they will be prophesying. At that time, the Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you, and you will prophesy with them. You will be changed into a different person. After these signs take place, do what must be done, for God is with you. Then go down to Gilgal ahead of me. I will join you there to sacrifice burnt offerings and peace offerings. You must wait for 7 days until I arrive and give you further instruction. As Saul turned and started to leave, God gave him a new heart. And all Samuel's signs were fulfilled that day. Like, hold up. So when I read this, I would normally pass over this. Like, then all of Samuel's signs were fulfilled that day. So you mean to tell me that Samuel had such a close relationship with God that he was able to speak to him so specifically about the things that were going to come to pass when Saul left his presence in that moment. And it said all those things came to pass. I mean, like to the detail, one will be bringing three goats. Then the other will have three loaves of bread. And the third will be carrying. I mean, like, he laid it out. Oh, my, where they're going to be coming from, how many's going to approach him, what they're going to be carrying, what they're going to be doing, what they're going to say. I just thought, oh, my goodness. Samuel just, like, opened my eyes to realize there is so much more of God I have not experienced. There is so much more of God having a relationship with him where he can speak to you like that. Can you imagine having such a close relationship to your heavenly Father after being in his word that he can speak to you so specifically about not just your future, but other people's futures? Oh, my goodness. I call it the Samuel anointing. I don't even know if that's scriptural, but let's call it that because that's an anointing. That is amazing. And it made me hungry to get in the Word of God even more. Like, I want to hear like that. Sometimes I have a hard time in years of vision builders hearing what God wants me to give. And here he is talking about how much bread and this and that and how many people and where they're going to be coming from and what they're going to be carrying. I thought, oh my goodness, I have so much more to press in to God. And then I began to realize, so this Samuel anointing, so how did he develop that kind of relationship with Jesus? And the story behind Samuel is his mother was Hannah. And from before he was even born, she dedicated him to the Lord. And the Bible says that he was raised by the high priest Eli in the house of God. He was raised in the house of God. And 1 Samuel 3:19-21 says this. The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. The Lord would reveal himself, his plans, his ways through his word to Samuel. So if you want to hear from heaven, get in the word. If you want to prophesy and have things come to pass, get in his word. If you want to see the miraculous, get in his word. If you want to be wise beyond your years, get in his word. Let's give God access to our time and let's get in his word, church. Can we do that? Amen. Amen. The second thing, does the Lord have access to your thoughts? What would God think about your thoughts? Are they full of limitation or is it unlimited? Is it full of fear or are they full of faith? Are they full of poverty or full of abundance and provision? Are they full of unbelief or belief, doubt or unshakable assurance, the possible or impossible? I really want to put it to us tonight that we need to put the God filter when it comes to our thoughts. We've got to put on the God filter when it comes to our thoughts. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So whatever you think in your heart, that's who you're going to become. So the way we think determines who we become and what we receive in this life. Because if you never think you're going to get that girl, you're never going to get that girl. If you never think you're going to get that job, you're never going to get that job. If you never think you're going to afford a house in San Diego, you are never going to afford a house in San Diego. If you never think you're going to overcome addiction, you're right. Because as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So our thoughts really matter. And I'm telling you, the reason why we need to put on the God filter is because with man, he says impossible. But God says nothing is impossible with God. With man, it says it's too hard. But with God, it says nothing is too hard for the Lord. We've got to put on God's thoughts if we want to see the miraculous. We have to put on the mind of Christ. We have to put it on. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:16, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." We can have the mind of Christ. So, but if we're only thinking through human natural perspective, we will entirely miss out on the supernatural God perspective. We have to get out of our limited humanly thinking and put on the all things are possible with thinking. We need to put on the mind of Christ and step into the supernatural. So when challenges and adversity and struggle comes, do we fold like a deck chair or do we step into the mind of Christ and say, nothing is too hard for the Lord. All things are possible with God. I can do anything through Christ who strengthens me. We have to put on the mind of Christ. We have to give him access to our thoughts. And I'm here to tell you, John and I would not have the house we are in unless we put on the mind of Christ. Because everything in the natural was shouting at us, it's not possible. It's way above your price range. You can't afford it. You can't get a loan. The interest rate is out of control. Everything with humanly thinking said we can't do it. And if we would have accepted that and received that, we would not have fought to get this house. But because we put on the mind of Christ and we said, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, we put on the mind of Christ and we stepped into the supernatural. And then God moves. How are we limiting God? What are we limiting God to do in our lives by our limited thinking? We've got to get out of our thinking and put on the mind of Christ. When you see something in your future that you think you can't accomplish, well, of course you can't accomplish it with your own humanly thinking and your own natural ability. But the same God, again, that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in us. We can do it with God. We have to put on the mind of Christ. If you have not put on the mind of Christ and everything that comes at you, you process through humanly thinking, you are missing out. You are missing out on everything God has for you because we serve a supernatural God. Nothing about our God is natural. We've got to shut down humanly thinking. And literally, if you have to do it, say, what would Christ say about this? What is the God of the universe? What are his thoughts about this? And put that on and step into all that God has for you. That is when we see the supernatural come to pass in our lives. Amen? Amen. Amen. So let's give God access to our thoughts tonight and take off the limits. I'm yelling a lot. I did this last time. Gosh, I get so passionate. Okay, third thing. Does the Lord have access to your finances? Does the Lord have access to your finances? And you know what? So many of us have given the Lord all of us except our finances. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about why that is. Let's talk about it. Why is this such a struggle to trust God, our Heavenly Father, with provision? I think one reason, the enemy is relentless in his opposition to having believers give is because the Bible says when we bring our tithe into his house, that there'll be food in this house to feed God's people, to get people saved, to get them healed, to get them delivered, to get them transformed, to get them set free. So you better bet that the enemy wants to plunder the finance from the kingdom of God in the earth, which is the church. He does not want people saved. He does not want people healed. He does not want people set free. So there is massive opposition because the tithe is what God has set up to make sure that the church is flourishing in the earth. So the enemy is relentless in throwing his fear at you with this. You can't afford to tithe. You can't afford to give. You can't do this. You're going to go bankrupt. You don't have enough money in the account. You're never going to get the house when you give your funds. Like, he will just throw everything at you because he does not want to see the church established in the earth. But how sad is it? What we see being established in a pillar in society is perversion. You know why? Because the enemy has made believers so fearful that we're going to be in lack, yet the enemy is using people to finance perversion and to finance wickedness. We see it everywhere. All of the agenda, every movie coming out is filled with perversion because the enemy isn't attacking those people in regards to their finance. Yeah, give your money to that. You know, so we see this perversion rising up in the earth because the church has remained silent in regards to their submission of their finance to the kingdom. He does not want there to be food in God's house. And God uses the tithe for there to be food in God's house. So all of us and all of our friends and our family in the city of San Diego could be saved. So he's relentless. He's relentless. He will fill your mind with fear around not having enough. He will fill your mind with fear around this issue. But I'm telling you, fear will always rob you of what God has for you. Fear will always rob you of what God has for you. And that's why we need to get the word of God on the inside of us. So when he comes in with that fearful voice and that fearful thought, you're going to be able to stand on the word of God and says, no, my God shall supply all my needs. God gives seeds to the sower. And not only that, he multiplies the seed that is sown. You've got to get the word of God on the inside of you so you can stand against the devil when he comes at you with that voice of fear. And honestly, why do you think the enemy is so relentless? Why do you think if you aren't able to give your finance, trust God with finance, why do you think there's such a fight about it? Why is there such a battle internally around giving your finance? If he didn't have so much to lose, there would not be such a battle. There has to be something to it. There has to be something to it because there is so much fear around giving our finance. And it's because the enemy has everything to lose. He has the church expanding and you being blessed. And the Bible says that the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. He wants to steal your finance. He wants to steal your family, steal your blessings, steal your prosperity, steal everything from you. And guess what? He's stealing from you if you aren't giving. He is robbing you of the blessing because bringing your tithe and bringing your offering opens the window of heaven over your lives so God can pour out so much blessing there's not room enough to receive it. The Bible says bringing your tithe and offering, you bring your seed and God gives seed to the sower. He will multiply the seed that is sown and it'll be pressed down, shaken together and running over. It's going to be poured back into your lap. So his whole strategy is to steal from you and to rob God's blessing from your life. I say we stick it to the devil. And we step into generosity and we step into trust. We give God all of us so we can have his kingdom established in the earth and so he can actually finally bless you. God is waiting. Oh my gosh, God is waiting because the keys are in your hand. You reaching out and stretching and giving is what unlocks heaven. The key to your blessing is actually in your hand. Don't let fear rob you of what God has for you. And you know what? God never apologizes for asking for obedience in this area in regards to our giving. He never apologizes no matter what season you're in, whether you have plenty or you're in lack. He never apologizes. He did not apologize to the widow at Zarephath. And we've heard this story this morning. He didn't apologize when he asked the widow who had a son. They were in a famine. She had a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil. They were going to bake one last cake and then they were going to die. That's how bad off it was. But God says, give to the man of God first. Bake a cake for him first. And at first she resisted because, you know, like, this is all I have. But she stepped out in obedience. And the Bible says that her flour and the oil did not run dry. So God would never apologize to that widow for asking for a massive sacrifice, literally a sacrifice that meant life and death, because he knew in the stretch and in that phase zone is where provision was going to come. He did not apologize to the widow that gave all that she had. She put two mites into the offering. And he didn't go grab those two little mites out and give it back to that widow because that's all that she had. It was all of her provision. He actually used this woman as an example of incredible faith. And he did not apologize and he didn't give her money back even though that was all that she had because God knew that was what was going to unlock the blessing of God in her life. The Bible didn't apologize to the little boy that had his 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he asked him to give all of his provision, everything that he had to eat. He was asked to give it to the people, to bring it into the house of God, to feed the people, and he gave everything. And again, God didn't say, oh, little bud, you know what? You got to be hungry. You've been here for days. No. He gladly took that off that boy because in giving everything that he had, he multiplied the bread, he multiplied the fish, and the Bible said he was able to feed 5,000 men plus women and children and had 12 baskets full left over. God never apologizes when he asks people to give, even when they're in a season of lack. God did not apologize to John and I when he asked us to give $6,000 in an offering when we already were $24,000 short for the year, and now giving $6,000 made us $30,000 short for the year. No sign in sight of where this was going to come, but we've walked with God long enough to know that when he asks us to obey, he's going to make a way. And so when we gave our $6,000, God supernaturally provided $30,000 within weeks of us sacrificing. We had nothing to give, but God asked us to give it anyways. God didn't ask us to apologize when he said, give the last $1,000 in your savings account. We were in a season of lack and we had little. We gave our last $1,000, but that set us up to receive $5,000 just weeks later in an opportunity that God gave us. God did not apologize when he asked us to give 10% of our savings account just months ago when we were in escrow, when we already needed tons of money to close escrow. I'm like, all right, God, you must know what you're doing. So we gave 10% of our savings account away to a family member who asked, but then for God to have another family member who isn't even in the house of God, not following Jesus, call me and say, I really felt like God told me to give you double that amount of money over the next 12 months to help you transition into your new home. And God did not apologize to John and I when he asked us to increase our Vision Builders this year, even though our expenses more than doubled, almost tripled. And you know what my response was? Our need is so much greater. Our need is so much greater. And my response, not for a second, went to fear because I know how faithful God is. I said, well, we need to give more. Because the Bible says God shall supply all your needs, and there is no shortage in heaven. So if I need more, I'm actually going to give more this year. That's how we roll in the Heinrichs household, because God is faithful. We're willing to stretch, so we always are stepping into the miraculous zone. Have you experienced the miraculous? Maybe it's because you haven't stretched. We are continually seeing the miraculous in our lives, continually. And I shared this at some of our morning services around the tithe message. And this isn't to, like, toot our own horn or anything. I mean, numbers may have changed. This is about 2 months ago I asked for the numbers. And I asked where John and I stood in the giving at Central Campus. Because I was just curious, like, where do we fall in this whole scheme of things? We have about 4,000 people that call Central their home. And they said, out of 4,000 people, you and John are in the top 25 in giving. And it's not because all your tithes are going to our salaries. We are continually living in the miraculous zone because we stretch and we believe God. God never apologizes when he asks you to step out and stretch in this area. And his desire is to not get something from you. He is trying to get something to you. There is treasures in heaven waiting to be poured down into your lap, but you hold the key to unlock it. And it's in your giving. It's in your generosity. It's in bringing your tithe and your offerings. It's giving to Vision Builders to see his kingdom established in the earth. I want this church to be known for the supernatural, not just with healing and in deliverance, but in finance. I want all of us prospering so much so that the people out in the world say, it does not make sense. It does not make sense that you and John are able to get that house that you have. It does not make sense. We know how much you make, but you live in this realm that seems impossible. We're like, yeah, that's right, because we serve the God of the impossible, and we've trusted him. And our story can be your story. And we want that for you. This is why I'm so passionate. I don't want anyone to be in lack. And when people come to me and they're struggling financially, I have no apology when I say, are you tithing and are you giving offerings? And it could be their last $10, and I am unapologetic in it. Because I know that man is not their provider. God is their provider. And so I want a church that really trusts God with all of them, even in their finances, even in their finances. And we're going to see the miraculous come to pass. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.